Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty and the Blonde Bomber have the latest. And shout out to Big Byron. Byron is holding it down at the station as Tyler is out. And Tyler, look, Tyler's not just out and about and just having fun and getting hammered and drinking and flying by the seat of his pants like he normally does. Tyler is out, and he is working for a really good good charity right now as he is out there working for Boots for Troops. We do this a lot, and he is emceeing that gig. What do you think Tyler's doing right now? I bet him emceeing that thing. I bet he is bringing it, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt he's bringing it, man. He's in the moment.
God, you think he didn't wear a hat, did he?
Well,
he got his hair. He got his hair combed up.
No,
nicely.
He's got a hat on. I think he's probably got a hat on. But the thing is, you know, when you're doing that, you like to have a couple of pops, just take the edge off. You know what I mean? But you don't want to have too many, because then you end up getting off script and you end up talking about stuff you shouldn't talk about in front of folks and make an ass of yourself. And
I've done that.
Well, I'm at that spot with T where I just hope he just had. Just get you one shot of whiskey and go do your thing. You don't need four. You don't need four.
You're
going to be up there with that mic in your hand introducing somebody.
Starting to feel comfortable.
And that fourth one's going to hit you, and you're going to be like, uh-oh, did I just say what I think? So I hope he just got that one loosen up and take the edge off and stop there.
But it is a cool event that we're a part of every year. And if you want to be a part of it, Boots for Troops, go to bootsfortroops.org, and you can find more information. A great way to spend your Veterans Day weekend. You can get more information at bootsfortroops.org for tickets as Tyler is holding it down there. And that's what we talk about, man, the drive, man. We do it all, baby. We expand. And Tyler, who is a big part of this show, is out there expanding as well. All right, Clint, as we look in, here's my man's walking in. Go ahead and get your seat. Get your drink now. Come on, man. Do it there. Get you one. Have a good time. It's Friday. Let it loose, baby. Got that good lineup on that beard, man. Go ahead and get you a drink. Let's rock and roll. All right. The Texans injury report, Clint, is out. And let's start with the good news here. Azeez Alshire is going to play. He has practiced all week, full participant today. And he will go today, which is a big deal here. Nico Collins, Clint, has not practiced all week until today. If you are just getting in, Nico Collins didn't practice yesterday, didn't practice on Wednesday, and he was in practice today, limited with a hamstring issue, obviously. They have brought him off of IR, so he's eligible to go. He is listed as questionable in this game, Clint, which is big. Foley Fatakasi, who has not practiced all week, including today, is also listed as questionable. And then that also Jerry Hughes and Jeff Okuda, who have just been brought off of IR. They are listed as questionable as well. So the Nico Collins thing is the one to really look at, Clint. And I mean, it looks like there is obviously him listed as questionable. There's a chance he could go on Sunday night against the Lions.
Yeah, there's a chance Nico Collins can be back. And the obvious addition of Nico Collins, you're talking about the most productive receiver in football when he's healthy, right? But what I think one thing that this offense has been missing, which, again, I've talked to it, to an exhaustive level, the screens in the quick game, for some reason, when Nico Collins got hurt, they just disappeared. When Nico's in the game, you get some of that quick game stuff, those underneath throws, the right now throws. You get some of the screen stuff, and that change would be very, very welcome, along with the obvious of Nico Collins being one of the most talented dudes in the league. Getting him back would be absolutely huge, no doubt about it, man. So the questionable aspect of that, I hope that he's on the field. I hope he's healthy enough to play. I hope there was enough in today's practice to get him over the hump with D'Amico.
Yeah, we'll see. Text line, our 5-hour energy fan text line. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch right now. Also, those of you here in the bar. Y'all think Nico's going to play? Thumbs up, thumbs down. There we go. Wishful think. My man right here is in the middle. Just put that thing in the middle. Clint said 50-50 earlier today. We'll see. We'll see if he goes. But I am intrigued to see this because their offense has really struggled without their number one weapon. And you could argue, I know Joe Mixon has been really, really good, but you can argue Nico has been their number one weapon in the offense once he's been able to play. Now, go ahead.
The other part of that, though, is Nico Collins being questionable. Somehow Tank Dell, I don't know if you mentioned
this. I was about to get to the bad news
here. Tank Dell somehow popped up on the injury report with limited at practice today with a back, and not only limited today, but they've got him listed as questionable for the game. So
that's the scary thing is that spasms, who knows what that is. But to go along with that, the disappointment of Tank Dell, that would suck if Nico Collins is able to return and then Tank Dell can't go.
Yeah.
But you would like to have them all out there. But also, Clint, out in this game is Will Anderson Jr. Will Anderson is out for this game, unable to go with that ankle issue. Not a major surprise, had not practiced all week long, but he is out, as well as Damian Pierce. He is out. Also, I forgot to name this. Jarrett Patterson, if you all are just jumping in, he is a full go, no designation. If you know, he missed the last week with that concussion and potentially could be in the starting lineup for this team, you would assume, with the injury of Kenyon Green. But Will Anderson Jr., that's a tough one. That's a very, very tough one, Clint, because you're facing the number one offense in the NFL who likes to equally run it and throw it, and he's arguably your best guy he is your best guy to set the edge in the run game. He's great in the run game. Also, he has been your best pass rusher and your best overall defensive player with 7.5 sacks, and he's going to be out for this game. So I think that means a lot of other guys are going to have to step up, Clint.
Yeah, look, I mean, as it pertains to this injury report right here, I mean, on the defensive side of the football, Will Anderson being out is a problem, right? I mean, that's been decided. He's out. It's a problem. The positives, the silver lining, if you will, the positive outlook. Azeez Al-Shaair is back. Jimmy Ward is back as well. So you've got some guys back in the fold. Jeff Okuda is questionable, which he's on the way to getting healthy. So he's questionable. That would be a big time add to the secondary. So those three guys, Azeez Al-Shaair is back. Jeff Okuda is back, but questionable. And Jimmy Ward is back completely. I think that's big news for the defense. On the offensive side of the football, you mentioned Nico Collins is questionable. That's a plus questionable. Tank Dell is questionable. That's a negative questionable. Don't know where the hell that came from. And then you mentioned Jarrett Patterson. Jarrett Patterson being back is going to give them options on the offensive line, their best options on the offensive line, for what that's worth, to put their best five out there. So, you know, I think overall there's a lot of names on this list, but I think that's really the top pulls from this injury report right there on both sides of the football.
There it is. The Texans, and as Clint said earlier, this thing is starting to get long again. The Texans have been fighting with injuries, and I think a lot of teams in the league have been, but the Texans have been without major pieces. They will get some back, as we talked about earlier with Aziz Alshire will be returning back. Jimmy Ward should be returning back, as we talked about that earlier. But, again, they're running without some of their strong pieces. And potentially, at least Will Anderson, we know, but it could be more than that. So we'll see there as we get closer and closer to the start of this game Sunday night.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, some big games outside of the Texans here on this Football Friday. And I would say the Steelers and Commanders, Clint, that's a big game that a lot of people are looking at. I believe that the Russ thing is real. He goes out there and they beat the Commanders on the road, and the Commanders have been rolling here with Jaden Daniels. That will be a big, you know, step into believing that this thing with Russell Wilson is serious. They've added some guys. Both teams have added some guys. By the way, Marshon Lattimore is not going to play in this game for the Commanders. He is out. No sign about Mike Williams, who they've added. Preston Smith, it looks like they're going to play. But of the games of the week outside of the Texans and the Lions, of course, I think that Steelers and Commanders game is a big one.
Well, I think it's good football. I mean, you got two what are viewed right now at this point to be really, really good football teams in the NFL, again, that are trending in the right direction with what, you know, at the moment is really, really good quarterback play. Your rookie of the year at the Commanders, Russ Wilson with the Steelers, and both teams have new pieces that I would imagine the NFL heads out there excited to see. Yeah, this is a big time game. This is one of those games that I'll definitely be watching.
Yeah, Eagles Cowboys, this is as my man just laughed, right, man, laughing at them like that. Cooper Rush in the building. That's who the Texans will play on Monday night next week. But the Eagles are going in to face the Cowboys in Dallas. And It's a weird one with the Eagles. The Eagles have won, I believe, 4 in a row. They're 6-2, and nobody believes that they're a team that's worth the damn. Like I'm not worth the damn, but at least not in the thought of they can win a Super Bowl, because they seem to be fractured with their coach and some of their players, and they seem to win in spite of certain things. There were moves that were made. They were up like 16-0 or 20-something-0 against the Jags. I remember, I mean, I turned away. It was 22-16 when I came back in the third quarter. I'm like, what the hell? What the hell happened? I know Nick Sirianni went for multiple fourth downs in the game and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see what the Cowboys look like without Cooper Rush. By the way, before looking at that game, Dak Prescott has been placed on IR, and he was trying to get a second opinion. Apparently, he partially ripped that hamstring off the bone. And he was in he's in a bad place. My man was standing up the whole time, to be honest with you, after the game and with that injury. But that to me is an interesting game, just to see what the Eagles are going to do, and to see what the Cowboys look like without Dak and with Cooper Rush as a starter.
Well, I can tell you that the wheel is going to continue to come off. But I'm interested in that game just because who the Texans have next week, obviously. Yep. You know, I want to see what we're up against and what they look like with Cooper Rush, and kind of just from
he was good the first time he had to fill in for Dak a couple years ago.
I mean, he'll be fine. He's a good backup quarterback, and he'll be fine. But the reality of it is they've got some major problems. There's some dysfunction. There's some stuff going on the sideline with between the quarterback and the wide receivers and the play call, all that kind of stuff. Like, in a backup quarterback getting thrown into that situation, he doesn't. It's not going to be pretty, but I more from a scouting perspective, I want to watch that to see what the heck we're up against next week.
Yeah, so I guess no real thought that Trey Lance was going to be the one to step in for the Cowboys with Dak being hurt. I don't know if that the final one here, 49ers Bucks, Christian McCaffrey, that's the big news. He's back.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He is back, by the way, 109, day 109, Christian Harris. That's the last time he is, he's been on the field, is 109 days, Christian Harris. They said a calf issue. It was apparently a calf issue with Christian McCaffrey, but he is set to return, Clint, this weekend for the 49ers. The 49ers have been, now they're at 500, they have been kind of staying pace. Now they've got some of their guys back. Debo's back. They've got Christian McCaffrey back, who makes that team go a lot. It feels like maybe the 49ers are poised to maybe get to that spot, even though they still got a ton of injuries. But it feels like they may be poised to get to that spot we thought they may.
This
not
guy,
there yet?
Well, I mean, look, the 49ers are a good football team, but on the Christian McCaffrey front, this has got a real Kevin Durant feel to it.
You ain't lying, man.
I mean, my man was getting second opinions from a European country.
He went to Germany, yeah.
I mean, I don't like it. It's got a real Kevin Durant popping Achilles after everybody thinks you can play kind of vibe to it, and I hate that because I mean he's golly boy,
he changes the game for them.
Well, he changes the game in a way that no other non-quarterback does. Hell, he plays every damn snap damn near. So yeah, that's. That's a different animal, man. So I'm nervous for my man.
You nervous for that? We'll see. Yep. He's set to return. We'll see if it's the same Christian McCaffrey we're used to.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, last night, Clint. Really, really, really entertaining game, to say the least. I don't know if defensive coordinators found it entertaining, but a really entertaining game yesterday as the Ravens. After trailing in that game at 21-7, they come back and they win the game 35-34 as Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor, they go for a two-point conversion instead of kicking the extra point to try to take the lead there, and they were unsuccessful there. And I know a lot of complaints out of Cincy about penalties potentially being should have been called on that play, but it was a fun, entertaining game last night between two AFC teams. The Texans obviously will play the Ravens later on this year, but a very, very entertaining game.
Yeah, hell yeah it was. I mean, you talk about two of the best quarterbacks in the league going blow for blow and literally blow for blow in the second half. I mean, it was when I'm sitting there watching and I'm thinking, damn, Lamar, you going to show up? And boy, did he show up and bring him back. And then all of a sudden it's this heavyweight bout in the second half of going back and forth, dudes throwing haymakers. It literally comes down to a two-point play at the very end of the game with what I think is a questionable play call with what Ja'Marr Chase is doing. You're going to throw the football.
11 catches, 260-plus yards, three touchdowns.
You're going to throw the ball to literally, I think, your third or fourth string tight end that's in the game at this point in time. Like that doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense to me. And look, the penalty thing – I don't know, man.
I think there were. I mean, Joe got hit in the face.
And the backside tight end got literally undressed. But here's the thing. I don't like how they. I mean, it would be hypocritical of me to be like, oh, you got to throw that flag. Because I don't. I hate the way they protect quarterbacks right now, and that's coming from an old quarterback. Like that's absolutely ridiculous to think that should change a game. And the other thing is I would rather them let these guys play. You know what I mean? Just let them play. And if you're gonna be a ref, if you're gonna be a crew that's gonna let them play, let them get physical, let them grab. For the whole game, then don't tighten up.
So you didn't have a big problem with the non-calls?
No, I didn't have a big problem with the non-calls. I would rather those things not be called than them constantly be called, and we got yellow all over the damn field. I don't – like, the interesting thing about is more or less kind of the response. You know, I mean, there's folks out there that would say, well, you can't throw the flag on the tight end, on the holding on the tight end, because the quarterback wasn't working that way and it didn't affect the play. Well, now – if you're a ref and you're looking at this and that's your job and that guy gets turned sideways, you got to throw that flag, right? I mean, he did, and I'm fine with it, but the whole thought of like, oh, well, you see the penalty, but then you got to take into account that the quarterback's actually working the other way. No, I don't want my refs doing that. Like, I want you to have your responsibility, make the call or don't make the call, let's move on. So, I'm all right with the way that the flag situation with the ref situation went at the end of that game.
Bengals, who look like at times a really dangerous football team, they played the Chiefs, the Ravens three times this year, and they've lost by a total of 5 points. And all of the games, basically, they lost on the last play of the game. And they're now 4-6, 0-5 against teams with winning records are the Bengals. They look dangerous, but they just don't seem to be able to win games late. All right, coming up, let us know, what are your true expectations? Your true expectations for this game on Sunday. The roof is going to be open. Sunday night football, Lions coming into town. They're 7-1, top seed in the NFC. What's your true expectations for this game coming up on Sunday? We'll discuss that next. Let's hear it, folks, out here as we are live out here in Humble. A good time being had out here. This bar is starting to fill up. I've been told, man, I need to make sure just using people's first names. We're getting these last names.
You're
out here, man.
Pushing the envelope,
I am pushing it, man. Sometimes you don't believe that's a real last name, but that is a real last name, and just put people's names out there.
Just add Wesley to the list of people that you done pissed off, man. Get something about it, man. You got a real knack of pissing people off.
Got confronted. I don't think Wesley was pissed, but he did confront me. Hey, man, you got to get on my last name out there. No, man, it's a good time out here. Coming up, as soon as this segment ends, we will have our final giveaway. If you have not put your name in our raffle box, you can still do that right now as soon as this segment ends. And after Clint tells you a little bit about them Blue Mountains, we will hook somebody up with a $25 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. That's coming up as soon as this segment ends. So if you have not filled your name out, put it in there. You might have a chance to walk away a winner. All right. I put this out there to the people, and I'm seeing some people coming up on the text line. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well. What's your realistic, fair expectation for this game on Sunday, right? Like, now I think we're getting some better news. I think, as Clint said, he said 50-50. They've listed Nico Collins as questionable. He may play, so that obviously helps the team. There is no Will Anderson. That is a tough trade-off, as he has been this team's best defensive player. But listen, I'm not going to lie to you. The Detroit Lions have been playing as the most impressive team in football. They don't just try to win; they try to beat the brakes off you. All right, they had the Cowboys on the ropes. I don't know why they were so pissed off at them, but they start trying to throw touchdowns to their tackles. They start trying to throw plays to their guards and stuff, man. So they try to embarrass teams, and they know they're going to be on the national stage on Sunday night. So you would think they're going to play their normal game. So what are your fair expectations? Your fair expectations for this game for the Texans against the Lions?
Look, I expect it to be a one-score game in the fourth quarter and the Texans to have a chance.
That's your expectation?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. All right. One-score game with it. I just wanted.
My expectations for the Texans have not fallen to the point where I expect it to be a skull dragon.
I'm not saying expect it to be Minnesota.
At the end of the day, I expect this organization to make the necessary changes to protect the quarterback better than they have. C.J. Stroud has shown the ability to move the ball and score points even when he's not being protected, when he's getting a hell beat out of him, when we can see that he's got happy feet because he's been getting hit so much. He's still able to go score points. I expect them, given what we've seen for 4 or 5 weeks now, I expect them to make the adjustments. I expect C.J. Stroud to continue to play well. If Nico Collins comes back, then I really expect the quick game and the screen game to return. And I expect this to be a defensive football game. I think our defense is one of the best defenses in the league, with or without their top players, and they've got a couple of key players coming back. I know Will Anderson is out, but they do have a couple of key players coming back. So I expect the defense to play big and give the offense a chance to score points.
For me, this feels like the Packers game where they were shorthanded in that game, and it was like, hey, you're going on the road to Lambeau. This is a tough one. Can you just stay in the game? Can you compete? And I think we're kind of in the same thought. Can you compete? Can this game be closer to the game that they played against the Packers and not closer to the game they played against the Vikings? Right? Like, because you could see how that could get there. Yeah, right? That's to me. Because if they could, like, to me, a big thing is if the defense, you just brought up the defense, if the Texans defense, which right now we got to look at it and say, this is a run the football, play good defense type of team right now. Basically, what they have shown us, and it is hard for me to say that with C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins and Tank Dell and all them on this team, but right now with their offensive line, it feels like that's the best path for them is to run the football and play through their defense. This will be a good measurement to see if their defense is good enough for them to play through. If they can keep the Lions down and keep this game a game with their defense, I think that's a real sign, not just for Sunday, but a sign for the rest of the way.
Yeah, look, I think it's fair. I think the Green Bay Packer game you mentioned is exactly what is kind of the game I described. Is you've got to find a way to.
Yep, they got three turnovers in that game.
Well, whether it's either turn the football over or it's Danielle Hunter's is to me the X factor in this game. With no Will Anderson, he's got to change the game. Whether it's a sack fumble or it's a sack early in the game to swing field position, whatever it may be, like there has to be multiple moments in this game where Danielle Hunter actually changes the game and the defense. Obviously has to help the offense and because look they're just right now they're not in rhythm and they're not going to be able to score 24 plus points if they're having to go 70, 80 yards to do it every game. So I mean every drive.
That needs
to
help. Yep.
It's going to be a defensively driven game and if they're going to be in it, it's going to be a defensive driven game. And I think Danielle Hunter's got to be that X factor on that side of the football.
People here on the text line coming through. First text from Ocho, realistic, fair expectations, a thorough, natural ass whipping given by the Lions. Also, next, realistically, the Lions win 42-17. Someone else coming through, Texans 35, Lions 31. Final score, Nico, a couple of touchdowns, over 130 yards. Jerry Hughes gets a sack fumble. Real specific.
Jerry Hughes, too.
This
organization has literally thrown in our face these one-score game stuff, right? I mean, it's a one-score game. We win more one-score games than we lose. And one-score game this, it's the most important thing, and it's always going to end up that way. And good team. Okay, this is a time when I'll accept that. When you play the best teams in the league, when you get into the playoffs, yes, you play to a one-score game, and then when you got a guy like Kaimi Fairbairn who can kick a 60-plus yard field goal, you win that one-score game. Or you tie it up late and you win in overtime. When you got C.J. Stroud and a guy like Nico Collins and even Joe Mixon who's running the ball as well as anybody in the league, maybe not named Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley, but running the ball really, really well, put yourself in a position to have a one-score game, you got a real shot. This is a game where I will accept that. Not the Colts, not the Titans, not the Jaguars. I don't want to hear that one-score game crap against those guys. But when you're talking about some of the best teams in football, then we can talk about one-score games. That's what I expect this to be in the fourth quarter. And if that's the case, I like our guys. I like our guys to go make a play and potentially win this thing.
Well, that is if they do keep it in a one score game, if they do keep it close, if it's close in the fourth quarter, God, I can't believe saying it. You could see it. You could see an advantage with the Texans. They seem to comfortably play in tight games. The Lions have not played in a lot of tight games. The Lions have had big leads here. They've blown out a lot of teams here of late. They just blew out the Titans. They blew out the Cowboys. I don't know who they played. They were pretty comfortable with the Packers last week on the road. So the Texans are comfortable, and they seem to find a way to make the right plays late if they can keep it close. That's if they can keep it close.
If you can make it a game where clutch matters, I like the Texans. Because, the Neil Hunter making a big play, like I mentioned, you know, they've found a way as a unit, even with guys injured, to make plays late, to give the offense multiple opportunities in one score games to go down and win it or tie it. They've been that team. So I don't know. We haven't, with the exception of the Minnesota game, that we haven't had a reason to really believe that they're just going to get ran through like mess through a goose. So I think if we can get that to that point, the defense will stand up.
All right, what's this game going to look like coming up crowd-wise? We'll discuss that. And the path for the Texans to get a W in this game, this big game coming up Sunday night against the Lions. We'll continue that as we are live on a Football Friday right here on The Drive.
All right,
welcome back. As we are here, congratulations to Chris, our latest winner. Yeah, clap it up for Chris. Don't make him just clap it up for himself. Chris been here since in the 2 o'clock hour, baby. Congratulations as Chris takes home a $25 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. Plenty of things for him to have a chance to win there. We appreciate everybody who've come out. Everybody here at Aranda Sports Bar, it's been a great, great time here. Shout out to Rosa, who's helped take care of us and everybody here. Also, our promo staff, who always do a great job here and work very, very hard. Clap them up. There you go. Yeah, man, we can't do stuff here, man. They already have it put together when we get here. We appreciate them, and we appreciate our engineer, Matt, who's kept us on the air not only via 610 and the Odyssey app, but also YouTube and Twitch as well. And Big Byron, shout out to Byron, holding it down as Tyler is out doing his emceeing for Boots for Troops, as Byron is holding it down back at the station. So everybody who've helped us put this on, it's been a very, very fun Football Friday here as we get going. Remember, coming up behind us, we got a little Texans All Access 6 to 9 as D'Amico, the head coach. He will be live on Texans All Access as soon as the show gets started when we get done. And then Boomer and Valenti, Mike Valenti, Boomer Esiason, they will take over, talk about this week's games from 9 to 10. And then Area 45, clap it up for Area 45 as Sean Bajani and Patrick Creighton, they take over from 10 to midnight live right here. Yeah, Rosa, we've been talking about you. 10 to midnight here live right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, Clint, we talked about it a little bit, and we just talked to my man here. And boy, this, just to put into perspective where the Texans potentially are with fans in the with this offensive line, my man Clint said, if we could just stay under 4 sacks in this game. 4 sacks? I mean, four sacks. That's a lot of sacks in a game, but that's where we are. I mean, it's better than the 8 that the Jets recorded, but that's where a lot of people are in terms of, if we can stay under 4 sacks, man, maybe we got a chance. What's the path for you? The easiest path to winning. To me, it's C.J. Stroud goes in and makes up and fixes a lot of the issues they have in the places where they have disadvantages, that C.J. Stroud and his greatness makes up for it. Because still, I understand what Jared Goff has been this year, and maybe I haven't seen enough yet to go regression. I'm still going C.J. Stroud over Jared Goff every time, and I believe he is the better player, and he can make up for it. To me, that is the easiest path to getting a dub, Clint? What do you see in this game?
Well, I mean, the realist path, you know, that because for me, I'm not that ship has sailed. I mean, the realist path.
You don't think he can come back, huh?
I mean, no, he can come back, but I'm tired of watching him do the same thing and expecting a different result, and it just the opponents are getting better, and you keep doing the same thing, and you keep that's not it for me. I think you're going to get more of the same from the offense.
Really, you don't sense adjustments. You don't sense that we'll be.
No, I expect them to adjust. Do I think they will? No. What I'm watching on film and what I've watched for multiple weeks now, I don't know how the hell Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud don't adjust. But I've watched the same. I've watched them not adjust for 5 weeks now. And so I'm not going to sit here and think it's going to happen. I expect them to, but I also expect to have a.
So you expected the post game show with you and Sean that you still have some frustrations in what the offense was
yes,
doing in this game.
Absolutely, absolutely, I do. But I think the realest path to winning is what we've seen the Texans do well to date. And they've got to do it better than we've seen them do it to date. They've got to play great defense. The matchup in this game is that one of the best offenses, statistically the best offense in football, matched up against statistically one of the best defenses in football. That is the matchup. And if that is as good a matchup as we think it is, and our defense can win more than they lose, this is going to be a tighter ball game than one may expect just looking at where the two teams are as a whole, right? So I think it's play defense. I think it's Danielle Hunter. You paid him a boatload of money to come in and wreak havoc on the opponent and change games. And while he does have more pressures, I think, than anybody in football right now. He's had a good season. It's time to change the game. It's time to get sack fumbles. It's time to get big sacks on third down. It's time to show up and show out the way that the TJ Watts do and the Aiden Hutchinson before he was injured. Sometimes what we've seen from Will Anderson. It's time for Danielle Hunter to have that day on the defensive side of the football. And then I think offensively, I think this is the game where Bobby Slowick comes out and it doesn't take him three series to figure out that Joe Mixon is your best weapon. And this offensive line, what they do best is run the football. You got to run the football and play good defense to get your team to the fourth quarter. And then when John Metchie breaks free across that goal line and he's open, CJ's got to make that throw. That's when CJ can be the difference maker. I think this game has to be played 85 to 90% of it, defense and run game. And then in those moments when CJ has time, he's got to make that one or two throw late that changes the game.
Well, those two things kind of coexist, Clint. I mean, you know, the Lions have put up and, you know, the defense needs to come through so that they don't get to dictate how the game is. That's the other part. The defense has done a pretty good job of this. I think the Jets game kind of got to that point late, but the defense has done a pretty good job of the, you know, not being like, yesterday, the Ravens, they got themselves down 21-7, right? They had to start to throw the football more. They had to, because of the score of the game, they kind of had to, it dictated that they move away from Derrick Henry as much as they normally do. And then, you know, Lamar had to throw the football.
Yeah.
The Texans haven't had to run into that. The way that the Lions have been scoring the football, that's a throwback Cushing jersey. The way that they've been throwing the football, scoring the football, that's the concerning part, is can the Texans defense hold the Lions offense down enough that it doesn't dictate that the game is put in the hands of that pass protection, the offensive line, the tight ends, the backs, and CJ Stroud, and then you take Joe Mixon out of the game. That is a scary thought.
The Texans right now where they are. I know last year's virgin
last year.
Yeah, not
last year. Several virgins in here. Yep,
right. They were virgins last year.
They were,
but
not no more.
The 2024 version of the Texans is just not a team that wants to get into a shootout. You know what I mean? That's just not like so. The only path to victory this weekend is our defense, which again, luckily, has been the best unit on the field damn near every week. Is our defense playing big and slowing down the high scoring offense in the league? And we're going to have to run it well to play keep away and keep that offense off the field. Again, luckily, that game plan is playing to our strengths. You know, that's playing to our strengths, and that's. You know, that hopefully that's how they get it done. And I can expect CJ Stroud to go out there and make two or three throws and have, you know, to work magic two or three series in the second half. I can't expect him to go out there and do what we watched Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson do last night. Not with the protection that he's had.
Into the season, we thought that was something that could be done, but not at this point.
Yeah, we're not there right now. Even though, again, the part of my frustration with this offense is that it's possible to be right. It's possible to get right, and the fact that they're not moving in that direction.
You don't have the confidence that they will move to the direction to get right.
No, I've watched.
No, I hear you. It's been 4 or 5 weeks.
But also to what we said, like. The messaging and the play, it's the combination of both. And now here we sit with a week-long of messaging again that mirrors what we've heard the last 5 weeks. I don't know why the football's not going to mirror what we saw the last 5 weeks, which is struggling to protect the quarterback. So, yeah, now my expectations are still extremely high across the board for all of them.
Yeah.
But you betting on any change?
Betting, no. Hoping. hoping that they at least do that, hoping that there is at least change, hoping even, there are some screens.
Here's where I think, if there's no changes and you just run it well and play defense, if you can do those things against one of the best teams in football, then we won't have a shot in the fourth quarter. And when you got a shot in the fourth quarter, I like Nico Collins, I like Joe Mixon, I like CJ Stroud. I like our clutch, opportunistic defense and their ability to turn it over. You got to get there, though. We'll see.
Yep. By the way, as we continue, as we said a little bit earlier, Texans All Access, they follow us. The head coach, D'Amico Ryans, will be there. Boomer and Valenti, as they get ready for this NFL slate, they'll cover that. And then Area 45, live and local until midnight tonight. Right here on Sports Radio 610, so stay tuned for that. Real quick, as Tyler is out, he had a pretty nice night last night. Not too bad.
I don't want to talk about Tyler.
He went Jamar.
I asked him to put me Travis Kelce. I asked me to ask put Travis Kelce in over like 5.5 catches with Kansas City, and he didn't have room.
He didn't have room.
And Kelce went out there and had 14 damn catches.
14 catches.
I asked him yesterday to put me Jamar Chase over 100 yards. He said, yep, got it in. Jamar Chase had 250 damn yards.
64.
And his
64.
His system messed up. His sight was messed up. He couldn't
get it in. He said he didn't get his in either. That was a lot of money you missed out there.
Man.
The over was 84.5, and he nailed it.
Come on, man. Come on, T.
He nailed it.
I mean, them two bets.
He had the Bengals plus six and a half.
Hey, Ron,
he got that, too.
Very rarely do you make a bet, and by halftime that some buck is hit, and you can just coast.
Both of those games.
Yeah.
Kelce and
Yeah, I know. Tyler, I hope you have fun on your off day, Chief.
I think you just need to cut the middleman out and just get aggressive to that guy himself.
I think I do too.
Because you would have made.
According to him, there's low limits and his sight's always down.
He said he didn't get it in either. Didn't happen those times, those Astros games where he was making all that money. Seemed to get his in.
I guarantee them bets were in.
I bet you he won them. Burrow over 1.5 touchdowns. Hell, he threw three himself.
Jamar Chase. 84.5 yards.
Yeah, I mean,
over 100 yards would have paid plus 200.
He nailed it. Good for him.
Yeah.
All right, again, thanks for everybody who helped us put this together. A great, great football Friday. Everybody who came out, we appreciate you. The staff here, Rosa here, who took care of us, our promo staff, our engineer, great, great, great time here as well. Byron, shout out to you. We appreciate you keeping us going and holding us down. Clint, great job. I am Ron Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.